whatsoever is born of God overcometh the world, and this is the victory that overcometh the world, even our faith. Good morning. I'd like to welcome you to the Voice of Victory broadcast. The human race continually demonstrates greed and selfishness on a daily basis. In secular circles, this type of drive is praised as a necessary skill. However, Christ in his earthly body demonstrated total authority and power through complete humility. This morning, Pastor Holland will look at the book of 2 Kings to find the example of a man who experienced the blessings of God and threw them away for personal gain. Join me now for the beginning of the two-part series entitled Gehazi, the Man Who Ignored the Blessings of God.
Take your Bibles this morning, if you would, turn to 2 Kings, 2 Kings chapter number 5. Today, as I want to speak to you on the subject of Gehazi, the man that ignored the blessings of God. You know, I preach a lot of messages from time to time, and in doing so, my goal and my aim is truly, if anybody's lost, I want them to hear the message and get saved by the grace of God. Yet we find before us today, I believe, a man that enjoyed the blessings of God, yet he ignored them in the very things that he did. A couple of weeks ago, I preached a message at the beginning of this chapter, beginning verse 1. The Bible said, "Now Naaman was the captain of the host of Syria, was a great man with his master, honorable, because by him the Lord had given deliverance unto Syria. He was also a mighty man in valor." But I want you to notice that next word. It says, "But he was a leper." I think today, you know, little things can mean a lot in a lot of ways. A wedding ring is a small piece of jewelry, but when you put it on in a wedding ceremony, your whole life changes. You take vows to God that is for better, for worse, in sickness, or in health, and you take that with the idea that you're vowing to God to do that. Wedding ring's a small thing, but it symbolizes an eternity together. A phone call is a small event, but you know the right kind of phone call can be devastating. Literally, a phone call can change your life forever. Sorrow can be expressed through a phone call that will turn your world upside down. The very hope that you had, just one phone call, can change everything. It's just a small thing, but yet it can change you in so many ways. A word by itself. But words literally can transform a conversation. It can destroy a life, or he can change our view about others and what we think about them, just one word. As we come to the Bible today, we find a man by the name of Naaman, and Naaman was a powerful man in the Syrian army. He was the head of the army. He was held in high esteem as the king of Syria, by the king of Syria. He had been used to win great battles. He was a powerful soldier, and he had great honor and respect in the field of battle. But when we read verse 1 and we come to the last part of the verse, we find that little word, but. And but literally changes everything that we know about Naaman. If we was to end with verse 1, we would end on a high note of knowing Naaman was a great man. He was a mighty man of valor. He was an honorable man. He was a man respected. But the Bible said, but he was a leper. The word but, a three-letter conjunction, but it changes our perception of Naaman and who he was. In spite of all of his successes, Naaman was a man with a huge problem. We come back to Naaman and the rest of his story in a moment, but right now I want you to pick up with me as we look at another part of this story. And I preached on Naaman a few weeks ago, so my message is not on Naaman, but I want you to look with me in verse number 20. The Bible said in verse number 20, what's that word? But Gehazi, I want you to see the same thing that we read about Naaman, but he was a leper. We find about Gehazi, the servant of Elijah and of God, and it says, but Gehazi. Gehazi was a man that was a servant of Elisha, serving with him in the service of God. And I want you to see, first of all today, the grace that blessed Gehazi's life. If you remember, Elijah was a great, powerful prophet in the Bible. If you remember, first of all, we know the prophet Elijah. And you remember when Elijah was about to leave the scene and be taken up, we find that Elisha asked that Elijah's mantle might fall on him. And that mantle speaking of his power and of his strength. And truly, when Elijah was taken up, Elisha received the power that Elijah had. And Elisha became the mouthpiece of God after Elijah. He was the one that served God, the God of Israel, and God used him to accomplish great miracles in Israel. God used Elijah. If you go back, you'll find the school of the prophets. Elijah was a man that trained young men to preach and teach the Word of God in order that they might serve the Lord in the days ahead. He was a man that preached the Word of God day in and day out. And here's a man by the name of Gehazi that was right alongside him every day. He saw the miracles he performed. He heard the messages that he preached. Here was a man that literally knew the power of God, no doubt. And yet he saw it, but yet he seemed obviously not to understand or realize the importance of it. He was exposed to some of the greatest blessings you could ever see. He had had the privilege of being surrounded by holy people most all his life. He had been surrounded by the preaching and teaching of the Holy Word and even the Holy Work. And by the way, could I stop right here and say, we can go to church all our life. We can hear the truth of God and we can know that God is real and we can know that God can do great and mighty things. But I tell you, if we don't take it to heart and understand how true it really is, we'll make the same mistake Ahaziah did in taking for granted the very blessings of God. God had blessed Gehazi. Can you imagine? But Gehazi had spent his whole life as a helper and a servant. And I believe today that in doing that, he had heard the Word of God time and time again, but we see him making a grave mistake. We see him taken for granted and literally looking over the blessings of God. And I want to tell you something today. Every one of us, I believe, would have to admit in many ways we've been blessed of God. And if we've been blessed of God, we ought to surely show God our appreciation for what he's done for us, because we ought to understand the trueness of his word and what he said. We receive the blessings, but yet we squander the blessings that God bestows upon us by doing foolish things that we should not do. God has blessed us and we know him through the grace that is in Jesus Christ. We should praise God for his blessings. And the Bible said we ought not to despise the goodness of God, because it's the goodness of God that will bring us to repentance. Thank God for the grace that he's bestowed upon us, but thank God for the grace he had bestowed upon Gehazi. Thank God for his grace and goodness to us. Friend, today, we've got more to thank him for than we could ever thank him for if we lived another 100 years. We can praise him this morning because of his goodness to us. The first thing we see is the grace that blessed Gehazi's life. He was a man that was Elisha's second man, literally. He was there to help him in every way he could. He saw the blessings of God and the power of God. Second of all, there was a greed that burdened Gehazi's life. You know, greed is one of the worst things that will happen in one's life. You see, merely being in the presence of the holy things of God does not guarantee our salvation. I'm convinced today there's a lot of people think they're going to get to heaven because they go to church on a regular basis. I will tell you something that's just not so. There's nobody going to ever get to heaven because they went to church. They're going to get to heaven because they come to a point in their life to where they repented their sins and they put their faith and trust in the Lord Jesus Christ. Yet we think about all the other things that might come along our way. But you would think all the words that he had heard, you would think the preaching of Elijah would have touched his heart, but obviously they did not. He had formed somewhat of a hard shell around his soul and it had prevented the holy things of God from sinking in. You know, that can happen to you whether you think it or not. The Bible said, he that thinketh he standeth, take heed lest he fall. And I tell you today, we better be careful because the devil is able to harden our shell to the point of doing things that we should not do. When the Syrian general Naaman came to Elisha, the prophet told Naaman that he could be cured of his leprosy. If you remember in verses 3 through 10, Elisha commanded Naaman and said, what I want you to do now is go dip yourself 7 times in the Jordan River. If you remember, Naaman was offended by the command. Here was a man with leprosy. Here was a man that wanted to be healed, but when he was told what to do, he didn't want to do it because he was full of pride and he was worried about what other people was going to think. Friend, I'm telling you today, if I didn't know I was going to heaven, I wouldn't care what anybody thought. I'd dip in the muddiest river there was if I knew that that would cure me of a disease that I had. Yet we find in verse 13 that Naaman finally humbles himself. And in verse 14, we find that he goes and dips in the river, and when he comes out, he's healed. Now, Gehazi hears the exchange. You remember, Naaman wanted to give Elisha something for what he did. You know what Elisha said? No, that's okay. You don't owe me nothing. I tell you, just doing what I was supposed to be doing. You obeyed, you did. God healed you. But old Gehazi is over there, and he's listening, and he said, now this guy's rich. He's got some stuff. And you see, that's where we're at today. If we could just have a little here. And Gehazi, he said, man, if I could just have that, I tell you so. What does he do? The Bible said he ran after him. He ran after him, and Gehazi gets there, and he said in verse 20, you can look with him, he said, I'll run after him and take somewhat from him. He follows Naaman, he catches up with him, he stops him, and the first thing he did is he tells a lie. Look, if you would, at verse 21, so Gehazi followed after Naaman, and when Naaman saw him running after him, he lighted down from his chariot to meet him and said, is all well? And he said, all is well, but listen what he said. My master has sent me, saying, behold, even now, there be come to me from Mount Ephraim two young men of the sons of the prophets. Give them, I pray thee, a talent of silver and two changes of garments. Here's a man, a good part of his life had been under the solid, sound preaching of the Word of God. Here was a man that had had the greatest example set before him of anybody that could ever set. Here we find Elijah telling Naaman, you don't owe me nothing. Listen, I was just glad to do it, and I'm glad you obeyed God. You go on with your business. But old Gehazi, he just wants something. He wants some money. He wants some clothes. And so he runs after it, and he changes the story. Friend, I'm telling you, you better understand, when you sin against God, you're treading on thin ice. Here he is. He not only said, my master sent me, which that was a lie. He said, but there be two prophets, young prophets, that need some clothes and a little bit of change. And I just wish you would help me out with that. Naaman gladly thinks that, obviously, Elijah's sent. I mean, wouldn't you? You've just been healed from leprosy. Your body is as pure and smooth and as it can possibly be. And you're back restored where you were. We find Naaman was probably singing and rejoicing and headed home. And what was a little bit of change and two changes of garments to give to the man of God that instructed him in what to do. We find Gehazi took it. He took the money. He took the clothes and he returned. They say the silver that Gehazi received from Naaman was worth about $9,100 in today's silver prices. The garments would have probably been worth a small fortune as well. But Gehazi traded the blessings of God for a few thousand dollars. He disgraced the name of God. He disgraced the name of Elijah by his own greed and his own desire. The Bible said when he returned, you see, you think you're getting by with something, but the man of God wasn't no dummy. He was smart, and God had used him in a mighty way. And the Bible said in verse 25, so he went back and he stood before his master. And Elijah said unto him, whence comest thou? And Gehazi, he said, thy servant went nowhere. Lie, lie, lie. But if you ever tell one lie, you're going to have to tell another. To try to cover up the lie that you just told. And so he stands there and he said, man, I haven't been anywhere.
Gehazi had seen the power of God demonstrated time and time again, yet he was willing to give it all up for personal gain. Christian, what value do you place on the blessings of God? Are you following in the words of the Apostle Paul and dying daily to self for Christ? Will you choose victory today?
This is Gary Holland, and today's message came to you from the pulpit of Victory Baptist Church, where I serve as pastor. If God has touched your life through the Voice of Victory broadcast, please let us know by contacting us at victorybaptistchurch.us, where all regular services are webcast live. Written correspondence can be addressed to Victory Baptist Church at 938 North Pine Tree Boulevard, Thomasville, Georgia, 31792. We would like to invite you to our services this morning at Victory Baptist Church, or you can join us on the internet. Thanks for listening, and join us again next week at this same time.